Thank you so much for joining us online today at Christ Covenant Church. We hope you sense God's presence and are encouraged by the message. Now, here's Pastor Ryan Weems.
If you got a copy of the scriptures, this is really the introductory message to the series. I hope you'll come back next Sunday as we continue in it. But if you got a Bible, turn with me to Genesis chapter 37 as we start our series, The Year of the Comeback. Genesis 37. Even if you're new to the Bible, new to church, you know where Genesis is. It's the first book in the Bible. And chapter 37 is where Joseph's story begins as a young man. Genesis 37, and I'm going to read out of the NIV, and I'm going to start in verse 2. Genesis 37, verse 2. If you don't have a Bible in the room online, there'll be one on the screen. Genesis 37, verse 2, here's what it says. This is the account of Jacob's family line. Jacob is Joseph's father. It's also called Israel. Joseph, a young man of 17, someone shout 17. He's young, 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and he brought their father a bad report about them. Now Israel, this is also Jacob, his father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons, because he has been born to him in his old age, and he made an ornate robe for him. So he's going bling bling, okay? Like he's got a nice robe, it's fancy, it's from Armani, whatever, okay? Like it's real multicolored, is awesome. Verse 4, when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Reminds me of people on Twitter, just can't say anything nice. Verse 5, Joseph had a dream. And when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright while your sheaves gathered around mine and they bowed down to it. His brothers said to him, do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us? And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Then he had another dream and he told it to his brothers. Listen, he said, I had another dream, and this time the sun and the moon and the 11 stars were bowing down to me. When he told his father as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, what is this dream you had? Are you crazy? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you? His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. For those taking notes, I'm calling this message. It's going to get real, real fast, okay? If you're taking notes, write this down. When the dream looks more like a nightmare. That's where Joseph's at. That's maybe where you're at today. When the dream that God put in your heart looks more like a nightmare. Let's pray together. Jesus, we love you so much, and we thank you for your holy word. We know your word is powerful. It does not return void. And so I pray, God, that you would speak through me. I pray, God, you would use the words that I share today to encourage but also challenge your people. God, I pray that even if there's something that I don't plan on saying, may you lead me, Holy Spirit, to say exactly what you have to say. I know, God, that they don't need to hear me. They need to hear from you. And so, God, may you speak powerfully in the room and online. We love you so much, and we ask all of this in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Can I get a good amen? Amen. You know, personally, I'm really inspired by Joseph's life. Again, I hope you come back throughout this series. And I'm so grateful to God for so many things, but specifically with the Bible. I'm so grateful that the Bible is not like this like fake little deal where it just shows everybody's perfection. I'm so grateful for the Bible that it shows us like what really happened, you know? Like the nitty and the gritty, the behind the scenes stuff. There's only one perfect person, that's Jesus, okay? And so we see even in Joseph's life, like he's immature and he's got some things he's got to, I mean, he's 17. How many of y'all know, like 17-year-olds, they think they know everything, but they don't, right? And so like he's got some maturing to do. And I just love the honesty in scripture, and I love how God's going to use this story today, but also throughout this series to encourage us. And I want to give you a little context, especially for those that are brand new to the Bible, brand new to this story. Joseph, he is the 11th of 12 sons of Jacob or Israel. And we read this. We find out very quickly that Joseph can do no wrong in the eyes of his father. Like he's basically the baby in the family and he's the favorite. And how many of y'all know, years and years later, 2021, that's still happening in families, right? The baby is the favorite. Like, would you help me out today? Help me preach this message. How many of y'all would say I'm the middle child or the oldest child in my family? Would you raise your hand? Got a lot of us, okay? You can put your hand down. Like, you don't have to raise your hand for this, but you know it's true. Your parents would never admit it, but the baby in the family was spoiled, right? The baby in the family didn't get the hand-me-downs maybe like you did, even though they should have, right? Like, let's just be honest, right? Like, it's still happening today, and Joseph is babied. He's favored above his other siblings, and they don't like it, of course. They're upset about it. But God comes along, and he comes to Joseph one night, and he gives him a dream. And make no mistake about it, the dream that Joseph has is from God. Now, sometimes we have some dreams that are not from God, right? Like it's the bad pizza we had the night before. It's filled with pride. It's something that we want desperately, but that God doesn't want for us. But this is actually a God dream. This is something God reveals to Joseph. Now, we heard the dialogue. We read the dialogue of how Joseph tells his brothers about that first dream. But we don't get his posture from the text, right? Like we don't know his tone. It's not just what you say, it's how you say it, and we don't get that. But just using my imagination, it may not have looked like this, okay? This is not in the Bible. This is Ryan for a moment, okay? And I can just only imagine the posture and the attitude and the demeanor that Joseph had, one of the youngest, going to his older brother. Like, I don't know how it happened, but I can just picture him strutting over, got his Louis Vuitton jacket on, bling bling, you know, just looking real good. Everybody else wearing hand-me-downs. And I just picture it this way. That Joseph would come to his brothers and be like, hey, guess what? I had a dream last night. It was awesome. You're going to love it. Knowing that they're not going to love it. You're going to love it. It was incredible. We were all there and we were working. But all of a sudden, in my fresh jacket, I stood up. And you all bowed down and showed me the respect that I deserve. How you like me now? Like, I just wonder, you know, like how it went down. And maybe not like that. But. I don't know if this is really true about Joseph, but I think we see it in the text, especially verse 2. I think Joseph could be a little bit annoying, you know? And if you got a younger sibling, you can just quietly amen me, you know, because sometimes that can happen. And in verse 2, what does it tell us? We read it real fast. You probably missed it. But it says that Joseph actually would tattletale on his brothers. That's annoying, right? And so he's got this immaturity in him. Remember, I had you shout 17. But what happens next in the story? He didn't learn his lesson. It didn't go well with him telling his brothers, but he decides anyways, after the second dream, to not just tell his brothers, but also tell his parents, right? If you got teenagers, imagine for a moment, your teenager strutting up to you in their nice clothes that they did not buy, you bought for them, right? And they strutting up to you, telling you this dream, and that's what Joseph does. And he's like, Mom and Dad, guess what? This is incredible. Not only are all my older brothers, like your sons, not only are they going to bow down and show me the honor and respect that I deserve, guess what, Mom and Dad? You are too. You think they like that? No. What does the Bible say? The father rebuked. Are you kidding me? Like, are you serious? And so Joseph's got some immaturity even in the middle of God giving him this incredible dream. And we can learn something right here and now. If you're taking notes, get ready to jot this down. Joseph, being a young man, he did not realize what you may not realize. Number one, write this down. God gives us a dream for tomorrow to help us face the pain of today. And what are you saying, Pastor? The dream was not for his family. The dream was for Joseph. But Joseph got so excited about the dream that he shared the right dream with the wrong people. And some of you are doing that. Oh, I got this word from God. I can't wait to tell everybody on my social media feed all about this dream God gave me. Oh, I got this incredible dream. I can't wait to, oh, I gotta tell you. And the whole time, God's maybe saying, that dream was for you, not for everybody else. In fact, a sign of maturity in your walk with God, friend, is that when God reveals something to you, fresh revelation, a dream, whatever it is, that you would first ask God the question, God, is the dream, the vision, the whatever, is it for me or for someone else? But Joseph, at least we don't see it in the text, doesn't ask that question. He's excited. He's a little bit immature, and he runs out, and he's like, anybody that will listen, he's telling them all about his dream. But again, you got to hear this. God gave him a dream for tomorrow to help him face the pain of today. What pain are you talking about? Here's the pain that I'm talking about. If you kept reading Genesis 37, and we don't have time to read it all in service today, but I'd encourage you, especially if you're brand new to the story, brand new to church and the Bible, read it the rest of today. Like, it's incredible what happens. It's eye-opening and plot twist after plot twist. But if you kept reading in Genesis 37, the jealousy that his brothers had turned into hatred, and that hatred actually turned into action. Here's what goes down. Later on in Genesis 37, Joseph's brothers are out in the field somewhere far off. And the Bible says that Joseph's father, Jacob, Israel, tells Joseph to go out to help his brothers. And so Joseph, he's obeying his father. He goes out to talk to his brothers, to help his brothers. And the Bible says that his brothers see him coming from far off. And they start to come up with a plan of how to take care of their immature younger brother. The one who thinks he's somebody special, the one that's frustrating them, the one who gets the best clothes, the one that has the favor with their father. Like, what are we going to do? And here's what they decide to do. They decide to kill Joseph. They're like, we're going to take him out. He's annoyed us for the last time. He's upset us for the last time. We're going to kill him. But the older brother, the oldest one, Reuben, speaks up. He's like, hey, guys, we can't kill him. Let's just throw him in a pit. That's what happens. Well, let's not kill him. Let's just torture him, you know. Let's just throw him. So the Bible says that they throw him in a cistern, an empty, dried up well. But before they throw him in, they take off that coat that had been mocking them, that they were jealous of, that had all that valuable, that represented so much. They take that off first, and then they throw him into the pit. And then literally they go have lunch. Like, they're hanging out at Schlotsky's while he's in a pit. And they're having their sandwich, And they're like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And here's the plan that they eventually put into action. They say, you know what? Let's not just leave him in a pit because we don't get anything out of it. Let's instead sell him into slavery. And so literally a caravan comes by. They sell their own flesh and blood, their brother, into slavery, of course, against his will. But it gets even crazier than that. Not only do they get some money in their pocket because of what they do, but the Bible says that they come up with this scheme, this ruse, this trick for their father, because they know when they come on back, what's their dad going to, hey, where's my favorite? Where's the baby? Where's he at? They know he's going to be asking. And so here's what they do. They find a goat. They kill the goat. They take some of the blood of the goat and they put it on that nice coat that he had. And they go back in unison to their father, and they tell their father that a wild animal killed Joseph. Can I just tell you something right here and there? The Bible is better than Netflix, okay? Like, if you think the Bible's boring, you're boring, all right? Like, you hadn't read the Bible. That's why you say that. Like, the Bible's just like twist after twist. There's so much material here where you can make TV shows and movies. I mean, it's crazy what happens. And the Bible says at the end of chapter 37 that the father, Jacob Israel, he mourns the loss of his son. He thinks his son is dead. But I want you to see something. In fact, this is what we're going to park on for just a little bit here. I want you to see something because we learn another thing. Really, there's another takeaway truth from Joseph's life. If you're taking notes, write this down. We find out, number two, that rejection can actually be redirection. Well, how could you say that? See, what we'll pick up on next week is that Joseph being manipulated and tricked by his brothers, thrown in a pit, eventually sold into slavery, God was actually working it all out behind the scenes to get Joseph into one of the captains of the Pharaoh's army, into his house. That's where we'll pick up next week. But you see, the rejection that Joseph felt by his brothers, by his father and his mother, God actually could use it to redirect him to where he needed to go. And so my job today is real simple. My job is to show you from God's word that the rejection that you may feel, it could actually be a redirection that God has for your life. because we've all been rejected, haven't we? We've all been rejected. And our first thing to do is God, I didn't think it was going to go this way. Have you left me? God, I thought I would go here, but I got rejected and had to go here. Why aren't you helping me out? Our first instinct is to say, God, what's the deal? Wake up. I thought I was going to get that job, and instead I'm getting this job. What's going on? God, I thought we were going to have kids, and we're struggling, and we haven't been able to have kids. Like, what's going on? God, I thought I'd be married by now. I thought my relationship would be restored by now. Like, what's happening? I'm here to tell you today, sometimes, not every time, sometimes rejection can actually be redirection. Because sometimes what seems best in your eyes, would you lean in right now? What seems best to you is not best to God. And the Bible tells us that God's ways are better than our ways. God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. You see, sometimes we get so upset. Why did this not happen? I thought it would go this way, but it went that way. And we get so frustrated that we stop trusting God when God's like, that rejection needed to happen. Because you thought it was what you needed, but it's not. I've got something better for you. I've got something different for you. Here's Joseph. He gets his dream. This is going to help somebody. Joseph gets his dream as a young 17-year-old that had some maturing to do. And the dream was never meant to be fulfilled the next day. But that's what we want. God gives you this dream for this business. I'm going to start it tomorrow. God gives you dreams for this relationship or the restoration of the relationship with your kids. And we think it's going to happen overnight. Sometimes it does, but a lot of times there's a journey God wants to take you on first. Can I tell you something? If God fulfilled every dream that he's given you overnight, you wouldn't be ready for it and you would screw it up. I'm being honest. So with God, rejection can actually be a redirection. Rejection is not always a bad thing. God can use it. He did it with Joseph. God can use it to redirect your path, to get you where you need to go. And I was thinking about this and praying about this, and I just felt like God said, you need to be open and honest and vulnerable about times that you felt rejected, and I'm just going to do that right now. Because we've all been rejected in different ways. Every single one of us. But I don't maybe know your story, and so I'll just share a few of my examples. And I think the Holy Spirit will connect the dots, and you can relate to it in different ways in your life. But just like some of you, I've faced rejection in friendships. You don't have to share your story. I'll share mine. I remember in college, I had some really good friends. And man, we had so much fun together. And it's kind of embarrassing. But sometimes when you're really close friends, you even start to like kind of talk the same and look the same and dress the same. You know, and that was happening with us. And like we were real tight, and we ate lunch together every day. I mean, it like we're always together, a big group of us, and it was awesome. But I'll never forget that there was a moment in time where God really set me on a different path. There was some guidelines and some boundaries that I wanted to keep in my life that group of friends was not keeping. And so I made a decision, not like to excommunicate them, but to make sure that when things were happening that weren't in line with the boundaries that God had set for me. And by the way, boundaries are not to hurt you, they're to help you. Just like guardrails or the bumper strips on the highway to alert you that you've gone off course. It's not to hurt you, it's to help you. And whenever I started to do that, not taking part in everything they were taking part in, I remember being rejected. And it was my group of friends, my only friends there at the university. And just the pain, like, hey, what y'all doing? And then, you know, not hearing anything back. Some of you have been there before. But I kept trusting God, and never forget it. That God used the rejection with that group to actually pull me into a different path where I had met one of the best friends I've ever had in my life. A friend that would eventually go on to be a pastor like myself. This is where it gets even better. the same person that would eventually introduce me to my future wife. And I never would have had that kind of friendship with him had I not been rejected by them. I'm trying to preach to somebody, rejection can sometimes be redirection in your life. Instead of cursing them, why not try trusting them for a change? Speaking of relationships, I've been rejected. How much time you got, okay? Like, I've been rejected in relationships. Oh, my goodness. Like, I remember back even to silly ones. I mean, the genesis where it all started for me was elementary school, recess. I need to ask my son, because he's going to third grade, our oldest, but I don't even know if they still pass notes, you know, but anybody remember passing notes in school? Now you just text somebody or whatever, but like, we would pass notes, and I remember that. I mean, it's a country song, but check yes or no, you know, that whole deal, like, and I remember she said yes, and she didn't say it, she checked the box, you know, and scooted across the table to me, and so I had a girlfriend, and I mean, like, literally that same day we go to recess. And I don't know how your school did it back in elementary school days, but we had to run laps before we could, like, play and have fun, and we got stamps and all that kind of stuff. And I remember running laps, and she sent a friend over that same day and broke up with me. Why y'all laughing? But what makes it even worse, like, I've ever, what makes it even worse is before the laps were done, I found out she was already dating somebody else. I want to call her out right now, but I honestly don't even remember her name. I just remember the hurt. A lot more serious, I remember in college, and really even the end of high school, into college, I had a real serious relationship. I thought it could go the distance, and she could be the one, and I was rejected. She broke up with me, and I was heartbroken. The first time I really felt like a depression in my life, and just crying all the time, and I even ended up moving back home for a little bit, and it was really challenging. And some of you have felt that in that level, but some even more than that. And just, God, like, what's going on? But I just kept trusting through the tears, through the pain. I kept trusting. And eventually, of course, I alluded to this earlier, I met my novia, Isabel. Name was Koskarart at the very beginning. Now it's Weems, my same last name. And I never would have met her, eventually got married to her, if not for that rejection and that other relationship. And I got to tell you, I'm here to testify, and y'all know, if you know her, you know, God gave me the best. That was the best redirection of my life. But it started with rejection. Is this speaking to anybody right now? Like, I'm opening up my heart. I hope it's helping out at least a couple of people. I've been rejected in ministry so much. People that I mentored to turn their back on me. Talk bad. I remember a pastor when I was very beginning, and I had made a big mistake, and so, like, I'm not saying, like, I was perfect in it, but I'll never forget a pastor right there in front of me, face to face, was like, man, you're not going to make it. Like you're, and he related me to another pastor who had this big, huge thing that, like, is the horrible, like, you ain't going to do it. I'll never forget whenever, before I moved here to Houston, in Dallas, where I'm from, I've known this for a long time. I've known that I was called to be a senior pastor, and I felt that almost from the very beginning of pastoring. But I stayed faithful where I was at, which that will preach right there. Don't be trying to step stones, okay? Stepping up the ladder. No, God will lift you up. So I stayed faithful in my staff position in Dallas. But eventually, and the senior pastor knew this. Eventually, the senior pastor was like, "Yeah, you need to step out discreetly, and it's time." So I had God's blessing upon that. I will preach right there too. You want to honor your spiritual covering, your authority. So I stepped out discreetly, and I'll never forget. I'm excited. I got a dream. I've had a dream for a long time to be a senior pastor. And I put my resume together. I mean, I spent so many hours on, I mean, just graphics and all, I mean, all kinds of stuff. I was sending out my resume to every, I mean, if the church existed and had an opening, I was sending them my resume. I was going every, I mean, I was sending to, you know, Hawaii, I mean, all kinds of stuff, like Kansas, who wants to go to Kansas, let's be honest, you know, just like I was sending everywhere. I just offended somebody, I'm sorry, okay, if you're from Kansas. But I've sent it all across the board, like in America, maybe all 50 states I sent it. I was just in anywhere and everywhere. But for months, I was rejected. For months, I couldn't even get a church to call me back. You know, long list of reasons why. Too young, you know, no experience, shouts too much when he preaches, you know, whatever. You know, I'm sure there was a long list. Like, have you ever been searching for a job for months before? That's not easy, is it? Especially when I got this God dream in my heart. Especially when the senior pastor has put his blessing upon this and I'm doing everything the right way. And it's just rejection after rejection after rejection. But I tell you, I kept trusting God. And God used the rejection as a redirection in my life to bring me to Houston, Texas. And you may not like that I'm here, but I love that I'm here. And I didn't know about Christ Covenant. I didn't know anybody in Houston, and guess what? They didn't know me either. But God needed to have the rejection take place so it would take time and the timing would all match up so then he could redirect me to exactly where he had for me. You gotta look at rejection differently. The rejection can sometimes be redirection if God's in it. I know for some of you, the dream that God has given you, it looks more like a nightmare right now. But can I encourage you to keep trusting God? The same one who is faithful to give you the dream to begin with is the same one in the right time that will cause the dream to be fulfilled in your life. Come on, would you make it personal? Maybe you got a God dream for a baby. Maybe you got a God dream for a renewed relationship. Maybe you got a God dream to start a business. Maybe you got a God dream, I'm gonna get past this. This isn't gonna be a stumbling block for me anymore. Maybe you got a God dream for your finances. Maybe you got a God dream for your kids or your grandkids. Can I encourage you? Keep trusting the dream giver. He is faithful. And even though you may face 200 shut doors, believe and trust God that they had to shut so you wouldn't walk into something that was beneath what God had for you. The dream he's given you was not meant to be fulfilled in a day. There's a journey that he's got for you so you can properly manage and properly handle the dream he's given you. Joseph had to mature. He wasn't ready. And maybe we're not ready yet for what God has for us. But in the middle, when there's margin, when there's a gap between dream given and dream fulfilled, that's where trust comes in. Do you trust him? Do you trust him? Bow your heads with me. Let's pray. Jesus, I pray that you'd encourage us, that you have not left us in the gap in the middle. I know there's so many underneath the sound of my voice in the room and online that they've been given a dream from you. And it looks different for everybody. But God, in the gap, in the middle, before the dream's fulfilled, it's easy to become cynical. It's easy to lose our trust in you. And I pray, God, we would continue to trust you even in the middle. That even though the dream may seem look a little bit more like a nightmare right now, God, you're still working it out. You shut a door because you're going to open another one. And it may look different and it may happen in different timing, but God, we trust you. Come on, we trust you. We believe you are who you say you are, that you are faithful to bring the dream to fruition, to fulfill it in your timing. God, I know it's painful right now for many, but may they hold on tightly to whatever word you've given them to believe again. Some of you, God's saying that to you right now in the room online, like it's time to believe again. You've let that dream die, but I never said let it die. You need to believe again. You need to trust again. God, whenever and however it's going to look, I'm going to believe. I'm going to trust. You are faithful. who are trustworthy. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I want to talk for a moment to those that are far from God, just straight to your hearts. Maybe you're here today and you're far from the Lord. There's not a real relationship there. Maybe you go to church every once in a while and you do more good than bad in your life. But can I tell you, your church attendance, your good deeds, they don't save you. The only way to salvation is Jesus Christ. He's the one true God. It's not about being a good person or doing more good than bad. It's not about all the deeds and all the actions and all the thoughts. It's about surrender. That you would tell Jesus, Jesus, I give you my life. I give you everything, the good, the bad, the ugly, my past, my present, my future. I surrender it. I give it all to you. It's like a little kid looking up to their father saying, Father, rescue me. With hands lifted, save me. I need your help. If you're far from God today, friend, I want to lead you in a prayer of surrender, a prayer of commitment, a prayer where you confess that Jesus is Lord of your life, a prayer where you put your belief and trust in him and what he's done for you on the cross. So again, keep those eyes closed with me. But if you're far from God, I want to lead you in that prayer right now. I'm going to coach you on things that you can say, but it's important that you talk to God. He's real. He's listening. His ear is turned towards you. You don't have to shout it. It's not about making a scene. You can whisper even underneath your breath. Talk to him. But tell him this, Jesus, I confess you are Lord. I make you my God. I put my faith and trust in you. Tell him this, Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross. I believe that you rose from the dead. And so I ask you right now, this question is so important. I ask you, Jesus, would you forgive me of all my sins? Would you make me new? I know what the world says and what's going on in culture, but Jesus, I'm more concerned about you and I want you to lead my life. I give you my past, my present, my future. I surrender all. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you, Jesus, for being faithful to reach down into the mud, the mess in my world, and to pick me up out of it. We're so good. You could pray this lastly, whisper to him, Jesus, help me to live for you all the days of my life. I realize now this is not the finish line. I'm not done. You want to set me on a journey, on a path, following you and running after you and putting you first. Thank you, Jesus, for all that are making that decision today to make you the Lord of their life. Give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you made a decision for Jesus Christ or if your life has been impacted in any way, please send us an email at info@christcove.net. We would love to hear your story. And for those that committed your life to Christ, we want to help you on your new journey by sending our free Start Bible Kit in the mail. If you'd like to partner with us financially, simply click on the Give tab at christcove.net. There it will take you to a safe and secure page where you can set up a one-time or recurring gift to help us accomplish our vision, heaven full and hell empty. And as always, you can find out more about Christ Covenant on our website or on Facebook or Instagram at Christ Cove Houston.